Hi there, it's Kathleen here, and welcome to The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Let me encourage you to not just listen, but partner with God and practice what He speaks to you. You can access more information about me, my newspaper articles, upcoming events, contact me, or purchase my book, Thriving Through Seasons of Grief, on my website at www.kathleenmaxwellranby.com. This podcast is now in 28 countries, and people have donated so that you can listen free. Will you consider paying it forward for someone else by giving a one-time or monthly gift? Simply click the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage at the top of the podcast. And don't forget to click the like or follow, and you'll be the first to know when new episodes are released. Enjoy the podcast. So welcome, everyone, to our lesson today, which is Living an Overcoming Life. And so what I want to talk to you about today is some of the greatest weapons I have found to fight with to win in life. You know, the word overcome means to get the better of a situation. And we need tools in our tool belt. And one of the things I want to emphasize is this is our last lesson. I'll take a little break and then I still will continue the podcast, but they'll be shorter. But I want to encourage you that what you've been learning here is not just for you. It is for you to practice, but it's for you to give away to people around you. They're the people that God's going to put across your path, and He wants you to touch. So He's got plans and purposes. And as you cultivate these lessons, I want you to give them away. You know, everything about everything in life, I feel like, is about us being conformed to the image of Christ. And when we partner with God, that is one of the best ways to get the better of the situation. And what I want to talk to you today about is fighting with fruit. Fighting with fruit. What on earth is this girl trying to tell me? But the Bible has some great things to say. And so we are going to talk about fighting with fruit. And there's things that God wants to work in us and God wants to work out of us. Does anybody have any difficult people in your life? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise two. But Galatians, I want to turn, if you've got your Bible, I want to turn you to Galatians 5:22. And it says, you don't have a whole lot of notes to take, but this is, I'm going to let you fill in what you want. This one, this last lesson is a little bit different. It says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, that goes in the first blank, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it says at the end of that scripture, against such there is no law. Another way, and I looked this up in the Passion Translation. I like that translation. It's a little more down to earth, I feel like. And here's what that passage says. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various, varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. I love that limitless. Do you know that all of these things reside within you? When you're a child of God, all of these things, all of these fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, All of them reside within you and me. And you know, fruit is evidence. Fruit is evidence. You can see an orange. You may not know what a tree is. I mean, what kind of tree it is, but you can look at the fruit. If it's got oranges on it, guess what? It's an orange tree. Lemons. I love to grow lemons. That's one of my just happy things to do. And so I grow my own lemons. And you can tell it's a lemon tree when that fruit comes out. And so fruit is evidence. And basically, when we practice these fruits that I just talked about, it puts us in a safe spot. And we're a blessing to those around us. You know, when your heart belongs to Jesus, you get to use these each and every day. And number two in your note-taking, you have a God-given right. And that God-given right is what goes in that blank. You have a God-given right to walk in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, because Jesus gave these to you and to me. He gave us these things. The problem is, I feel like, and what I discovered in my own life, is that many of us don't practice them. Again, to get good at anything, we have to practice. So these can grow in our life. So don't beat yourself up. If you said, man, I learned that lesson several weeks ago about walking in peace and that I had a God-given right to walk in peace in any circumstance that I face, but I blew it this week. That's okay. Just get back up and cultivate that in your life. We live in a farming community around here in Uvalde, and there's a time when the seed is planted. Then the little sprout comes up. Then the plant begins to grow. And then before you know it, we have corn, we have cabbage, we have these crops that are grown. And it's the same way with the fruit of the Spirit. Some of them take longer. When I first started working these, and I did a 2-year Bible study, 2 years on this particular, on these different fruits. And I asked the Lord, which one do you want me to cultivate first? You know, and the Lord was so gracious in showing me. And then I moved to the next one. And then I moved to the next one. And for me, that made it easier to do. So as we're going through this, I encourage you to just ask the Holy Spirit, which one do you want me to really focus on right now? You can practice all of them. You know, when I was studying this passage, I wrote in my journal what I felt like God was speaking to me. And when I read these things, the scripture in Galatians 5 that we just talked about, I felt like the Lord said, this is how I want you to live. I've given you these to govern your life. When you live in them, you stay in step with me. Felt the Lord saying, Kathleen, I want you to stay in step with me. And part of the way you're going to stay in step with me, not run ahead, not lag behind, is when you practice these fruits of the Spirit. When you don't, you're out of step. And so these are gifts that the Lord has given us, that He's deposited in us. Love, joy, and peace don't just appear. They're grown. And many times these are grown in adversity, in the hard things in life. But that's when we get an opportunity to cultivate them. You know, that's when we get the opportunity to exercise them. It's in that difficulty, in that crisis, in that disappointment. That's your opportunity to practice. And I'm not talking about waking up tomorrow and saying, today I'm going to be loving, or today I'm going to be so patient. I'm talking about a mindset, a day in, day out mindset in our daily lives that we can walk in these and practice these fruits. It's not about surviving. See, God has designed and wants us to thrive and overcome in our challenges in life and to get the better of a situation. So let's talk about love. Well, 1 John 4:21, and all of these scriptures that I'm referencing are at the top of your lesson. But 1 John 4:21, let's hear what the Bible has to say about love. It says, He has given us this command, whoever loves God must love his brother. So, number one, reading that, we are commanded to use the fruit of love. We're commanded to cultivate that. It's in us. But there are many times difficult people, challenging people, however you want to call them, grace growers. Sometimes I call them, oh, okay, that's a grace grower. Okay, Lord. All right. I see what you're trying to work in me. And my dear friend, and she was my coworker. She was my assistant when I was the director of the Christian Women's Job Corps in Kerr County. And sometimes some of the women we worked with were very challenging. And I'd walk in the office, in her office, or she'd walk in my office, and we had this saying, gotta love them. Gotta love them. You know, we would like preach to each other that even in this challenging situation, we would walk in love. We would walk in love. And many times, I will tell you, I have had to say, Lord, I need your love for this person because I'm not feeling it right now. Lord, put your love for them. Lord, you know things that have happened in their life that I don't have a clue about, but I need your love in this situation. Love is the very foundation of God's personality. Is it the very foundation of yours, of your personality? And you know, when I'm gone from this earth, and having lost, I think, a husband, it makes you think about, you know, you're not guaranteed anything in life. And one of the things I thought about after he was gone is, what do I want to be known for? And because none of us have any guarantees in life. And what I want to be known for is that she loved well. That's what I would like for people to say about me someday and my memorial service. She loved well. Because love always wins. Love always wins. When I remember to pick up that fruit of love and use it, even when I don't feel like it, it puts me in a better situation. There was a situation I had one time with a family member, and everything in me wanted to defend myself. But if I would have, I would have uncovered another family member. And so it was a nice opportunity for me to really step back into the Spirit of God in me and say, Lord, I need your love and how to handle this. Because if I defend why I did something, I will uncover my husband. And I didn't want to do that. And so I carefully chose my words. Because as I'm listening to this person talk, I'm like, okay, Lord, give me your love. Help me to have a godly response. Help me to respond like you would. And help me keep my heart right. Because love breaks down walls. When we can love, it breaks down walls. Yes, you and I can be rejected, but true love gives without expecting anything in return. And I'm happy to say God worked out that situation. But that opportunity where I wanted to say, wait a minute, you're accusing me and you have no idea, that it wouldn't have been the best thing to do in that situation. So many times it's about getting our heart right. And I have a saying that I try to govern my life with, and it is, I am what I love, not what loves me. I'm going to say that again because you may want to write that down. I am what I love, not what loves me. Not everybody's going to love you and me. They're just not. But I am what I love, and it's in those times. And I've seen it time and time again. When I choose love, when I choose to love, sometimes the unlovely or the unkind or the ungrateful, how God turns it around, and then I earn the right to be heard in their lives. Love breaks down walls. Let's go on to joy. Let's talk about joy. Joy is evident in someone's life. You can see it on a smile on their face. You can hear it in their voice. Life is hard and not every day is joyful, but you and I can choose joy. You know, in the tough days of caregiving for my mom, for my late husband, for my dad, I could find joy. Even though those days were tough, I could find joy in that I get to spend this time with them. This time is short. Lord, thank you that I have this opportunity now. You and I can choose joy even when life is tough. You know, and there have been many a days where I have said, okay, I know my joy is around here somewhere. I've just got to find it. You know, something kind of rocks your boat and it upsets you or puts you in a, and you're frustrated or whatever. And so I preach to myself many a times, okay, Kathleen, you've got to find your joy. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, it says in Nehemiah 8:10, go and enjoy food, choice food and sweet drinks. Send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, when you're joyful, when you choose joy, when you can choose to, okay, Lord, thank you that I'm here today. Thank you that you love me. Lord, thank you that your joy can be my strength. Lord, help me to remember that throughout this day. During the deep days of my grief after losing my husband, Thanksgiving helped me find my joy because I was battling through that. I felt like my life was over and life had forever changed, but I could still find joy, and joy was still something that as I began to thank the Lord for what I had, and I think I've shared this in the past, I started a little gratitude journal that I kept in there by my bathroom, and every night I would just write down something. I remember writing, all I could think of one day was, thank you, Lord, that I have running water. I would not have been a great pioneer. But that's how, you know, I just was trying to refocus and reset. I believe God is looking for people that are going to be his arms, his hands. Bring joy. And you know, just even as you walk through the grocery store smiling at somebody, you don't know what kind of day they've had. Walking into the post office, into work, you have no idea what they're going through, but your smile can make them feel loved and accepted. And so just as a little reminder, I'm going to give you something for you to put, for you to put out. Today, I choose joy. I have a little saying by my refrigerator that says, today, I choose joy. So this is just a little reminder for you to choose joy, because it is a great fruit that we can fight with. All right, let's talk. And many times we have to ask God for his perspective of our situation to find our joy. Ask God for his perspective of your situation and what he's doing. All right, peace. We've already had a whole lesson on peace. And so if you've missed that lesson, catch it on the podcast, Walking in Peace in a Crazy World is the title. But I want to hit some highlights about peace and the weapon of peace. You and I have a God-given right to walk in peace in any situation we face. John 14:27, Jesus left us with peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. Peace is a choice. Peace is a choice. You know, I remember I used to pray for peace because I lived stressed out a good bit of my life. The Lord began showing me about a God-given right to walk in peace in my late 30s, I would say. And I would blame God. I'd think, well, I don't have peace because God didn't give it to me. Because every morning I'd pray, Lord, you know, give me peace, give me peace, give me peace. And one morning, the Lord just spoke to my heart when I was journaling. He said, I've given you peace. You just don't walk in it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't feel like I was in trouble. I just felt like the Lord saying, you just need to practice it. You need to practice walking in it. Because I had just blamed God when things didn't go peaceful in my life. I just need to practice it. Anxiety and fear are not from God, but peace is. And I was full of fear. I had many fears, and even as a spirit-filled believer, I was still walking and carrying a whole lot of fears. But God, one at a time, began to set me free. Peace is a crazy weapon in a world that's full of stress and disaster and hopelessness. And practicing your peace in tense times, in times of conflict, when others are upset, is a powerful weapon. It helps diffuse the situation instead of being part of the problem. And sometimes it's taking our voice level down, just like we would if we were calming a baby. Have you ever picked up a baby and you just pat it and you say, it's okay, it's okay? Sometimes we need to do that to ourselves to practice our peace. I remember when my daughter was giving birth to her firstborn. She called me and said, Mom, they're gonna induce me. You need to get to Houston. I said, okay. I was so excited. And she said, the baby's birth platelets are low and my blood pressure's high. And the doctor said I could possibly give birth, you know, naturally if my body cooperated. And so as I was driving to Houston, threw things in the suitcase, driving to Houston, and I just was chatting with the Lord. And I said, Lord, what is my role in this? Because her husband's going to be there. And what is my role in this situation? And I felt like the Lord just told me, he said, it's to establish peace and guard it. And so they induced her that day at 6 a.m. And I was there, not when they induced her, but I got there a little later because we knew it could take a little bit of time. But by 10:30 p.m., she was only 4 centimeters and hadn't eaten in 40 hours. She'd been in labor 21 hours. And I remember the Lord just kept saying, you're to establish peace in this room. You're to establish peace in keeping her calm so she can breathe, so she can give birth to this baby. And for my son-in-law, I love my son-in-law. He's a phenomenal guy. And here we are, 21 hours. I'm getting a little bit tired. She was real tired. A nurse walked in, and she said, I just want to say, I've been an OB nurse for 22 years, and I've never been in such a peaceful room. And I just smiled and thanked God. And there was that part of me that we were getting down to the wire. We were getting down to the wire. I was getting concerned as a mama for my daughter. And I'm telling you, in just the next 30 minutes, things turned around. She gave birth to that baby boy, and he's 10 years old now and adorable. But my role in that, and your role in situations, can be to establish the peace of God and bring it in to a tense situation. Psalm 37:37 says, a future awaits those who seek peace. A future awaits those who seek peace. I challenge you to seize the peace Christ has provided for you and look forward to the future. We have so much that's up in the air right now with, oh my goodness, stuff here in Uvalde, with politics in the world, with war, with all that. We have so many things that can rob us of our peace, but God wants you and I to bring His peace into situations. I've got so much I can say about that, but I'm going to keep moving with that. I remember one time, there was a situation at work, and I was in charge of a big fundraising event, and the week of the event, the admin that had been my right hand quit. My intern got sick and wasn't able to come in, and so I had like five times the amount of things on my plate. But it was a wonderful opportunity to walk in peace because I had a God-given right to do that. I love taking my peace into difficult situations. I went into a business one day, and the lady was just, have you ever run into somebody and they're just going 90 miles an hour? And I just looked at her and I said, I've got plenty of peace. Can I give you some? She looked at me. She said, well, yeah. I said, well, I'd just like to pray for you. Okay. And so I prayed with her, and she said, oh, I feel better now. So once you cultivate it, then you get to give it away. Peace is part of the character of God. And guess what? Your ministry is who you are and wherever you go. It's not just standing up here speaking. It's who you are and where you go. God has people He wants you and me to touch. Okay, you know, here's the deal. You don't have to be anxious, bitter, angry, mean-spirited, impatient, harsh, unkind anymore. Those don't belong to you. They are not who you are. And why would you choose anger, bitterness, being harsh when you could choose love, joy, peace, gentleness, and kindness? Why would you choose those other things when you could choose the fruit of the Spirit? Jesus paid a great price for worry, fear, anxiety, frustration, and you belong to Him. Patience. Let's talk about patience. Patience is the willingness to surpass relentlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. It's calmness and stability. God provides it. We need to practice it. Allocating patience allows us to find value in people. You know, when you're patient with someone, it allows you to find the value in them. You know, one day I remember the Lord just speaking to me. I was frustrated with my husband. I don't know if y'all probably have never been frustrated with your husbands, but anyway, I was frustrated, and the Lord just spoke to me. He said, I want you to allocate patience to Him. And when I looked at the situation from that perspective, it changed me. It didn't automatically change the situation, but it changed me. And that's what God is many times after. In Romans 15:15, it says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another. God wants us, He tells us in His Word, to be patient with others. And Colossians 3:12-13 says, so, as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Colossians 3, that's 12 and 13. I did a teaching on this one time. It's what to wear. I called it what to wear, because when we clothe ourselves with these things, we're going to look better. Let's move on to kindness. What is kindness? Well, kindness considers someone's heart and acts accordingly. It's the quality of being considerate, friendly, generous, and loving. And that's the way God is with us. God's been so kind to me throughout my life. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "The Lord's bondservant, that's you and me, must not be quarrelsome, must be kind to everyone." Who are we supposed to be kind to?
Everyone.
"Able to teach, patient when wronged." There's that patient word again. That's 2 Timothy 2:24. Many times I've missed God's kindness, but when I look back, I can see it. And He has been incredibly kind. We can choose kindness or self-centeredness in any situation. We get to choose. Luke 6:35 tells us, "He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." Who was Jesus kind to? The ungrateful and the wicked. Huh. And 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "We are to always be kind to each other and everyone else." Be kind to each other. He wants us practicing our kindness. Practicing our kindness. Fight with kindness and gentleness. You know, there was a situation at work one time, and oh my goodness, it was driving me crazy. I was working out of town. I was having to work with this woman, and she was challenging. She was challenging. Took every bit of Jesus. I would find myself when I was driving up there, "Lord, help me. Please help me." And the Lord said, "Your weapon in this is just being kind. Time after time, be kind, be gentle, use even a lower voice than normal." And it was something I had to sit on, because I was telling my supervisor, "Hey, something's not right. This is going on. I'm not real sure." And I wasn't real sure. I just knew something wasn't right. It was 9 months later, and that woman was fired because a lot of things came to light. But for me, working with her was my opportunity to be kind, for me to practice my kindness and my gentleness. And here's what I've discovered. When we practice the fruit of the Spirit, we benefit more, I think, sometimes than others. Let's talk about gentleness. Gentleness is very valuable. Gentleness is powerful humility. It's being sweet-spirited and tender-hearted. Gentleness is powerful humility, being sweet-spirited and tender-hearted. And why should we be gentle? Because Jesus is. It tells us that in Matthew 11:28. It says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Gentleness provides rest. Philippians 4, verse 5 tells us, it says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Our gentleness can combat harshness and anger when we're gentle. And I was trying to help one of my clients one time deal with a situation with their landlord. And I had, you know, kind of coached her on how to handle this in this situation, because she needed an extension. She was going to be late in her rent. And so she was like, you know, she was eager to learn. And so anyway, we were going through this scenario, and she gets on the phone, and the next thing I hear, and she was doing exactly, you know, how we had talked about handling it. But all of a sudden, the lady on the phone just starts yelling so loud, I could hear everything that's being said. And the girl just looked at me with great big eyes, and she kind of handed me the phone. And when I took the phone, I just lowered my voice really low. Now, I could have gone head to head, and I'm sure I could have yelled louder, but it wasn't going to accomplish the end result. And it was almost like having to talk her off a ledge. And many times when we use our gentle voice in tense situations, it can give us the upper hand. It's just remembering that. Gentleness combats harshness and anger and diffuses tense situations. Gentleness makes people feel valued. And when we're gentle, it can be a deposit in somebody's emotional bank. What about self-control? Let's move on to that one. Self-control is the ability to control one's behavior and emotions in the face of temptations or impulses. Self-control is the regulation of one's behavior to achieve a goal. When we use self-control, that means we don't let ourselves get bitter, angry, or resentful. We don't act like those around us. You and you alone are responsible for your emotions, your actions, and your choices. You know, one of the things, nobody makes you mad. You choose to be mad. They might put their finger on a little trigger in your life, but you and I have at our disposal choices. And so be responsible. And when we exercise self-control, it can really be a helpful tool. 2 Peter 1:5 through 9, it says, His divine power has given us everything for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge, self-control. There's that word. And through self-control, persevering, and patience, godliness, and love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. That's a lot of words. I encourage you to circle that and go back and look at that. You know, the word knowledge that it talks about in the scripture, and I looked that up in the concordance, it means the act. We aren't talking about just head knowledge. God wants us to act on these things. He wants us to practice them, weaving them into the fabric of our life. It's not good enough just to quote a scripture, you know, or know the meaning. You don't really own something until you practice it. So we have the opportunity to practice. And as we practice, the experience makes you rich. As you practice the fruits of the Spirit, it's going to make you rich. You and I are called to be a visual aid of love to God, of the love of God to those around us. Be intentional about giving the fruit of the Spirit away to others. He wants us to look for people to give this fruit to. And, you know, one of my prayers at times, when I don't really know, have you ever been just kind of stumped? You're not quite sure how to deal with something? But one of my prayers is, Lord, what fruit do I need to serve in this situation? Lord, what's the key for this particular situation? Sometimes it's love. Sometimes it's patience. What fruit? Just like if I were carrying a tray and walked in here, you might need oranges because you have a vitamin C deficiency or something. What fruit do you need to serve in the situations that are coming to mind right now? Ask the Lord, because He is alive and He wants to speak to us. He wants to show us what we need to serve. There's so many that need us to share the love and hope that we have in Jesus. And it's not too late, and you're not too old. Your ministry is who you are and where you go. And so I challenge you to practice in the days ahead. Open your heart to just receive God's love. Open your heart. One of the things in the morning that I love to do is just sit in the quiet and in the dark and just say, Lord, I love you, and I just open my heart to you to give me more of your love. Just pour your love in. Just let it wash things away that I might have been carrying. Daily receive fresh fruit. You know, we went to Italy this summer, and when we were there, they don't have a lot of refrigeration, and every day there was a fresh fruit market, and people went every day to get those things. And it was like a visual aid of seeing, and the gorgeous stuff, because everything is organic there. They don't use chemicals and all the different stuff. But the Lord wants us to go to Him every day to get the fruit that we need. Serve the fruit of the Spirit to those around you and in the situations that God allows you to be in. Every day you've got something to give away. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you for each person listening, and I thank you, Lord, that you've given us just the best weapons to fight with every day, the fruit of your Spirit. So, Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to tap us on the shoulder, to just remind us to use love, to use peace, to use our self-control, to allocate patience, and to use our gentleness, Lord. Father, thank you for being so kind in giving us all these things to help us. So remind us, Lord, let us become good at practicing, and I ask that you pour out your Spirit in the lives of each one listening and in their homes. Thank you that you've got answers for our everyday problem. And I just ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.